Hi, lovely. Hi. Hello. Hi. Hi. By the title of this, you might be able to tell that I got a new mic. And I'm really, really excited about it. And I thought, why not test it out and all the different settings and read for you a little bit today. I got myself the Blue Yeti Blackout, and it is currently on the stereo setting, so I can move back and forth like this and give you a nice binaural effect and whisper into your ear. This is definitely gonna come in handy for a little bit more violent GWA audios in the future, but that's neither here nor there. So, as I said before, this is on the stereo setting currently, but if I switch it, it's on omnidirectional, so you can hear everything in the room a little bit more clearly than you would on, I guess, any other setting. So I guess this one would come in handy for some ambient noise recordings, some Foley and whatnot in the future. But if I switch it again, it's on cardioid, and cardioid is just the regular microphone kind of setting where I just speak directly into the microphone. It doesn't really pick up anything clearly behind it or to the side or anything like that. And if I switch it one more time, it's on bidirectional. So you can hear that snapping behind the microphone very clearly. So it's picking up the front and the back of the microphone only. And the box says that it's good for recording music or interviews or whatever you might use it for. maybe some IRL collabs. Hello. But yeah, I'm really excited about this. And I hope I'll be able to make really good content in the future with it. It's so weird hearing my voice in my head, but I'm rambling now. To get to the reading, I decided, why not? Why not pick up a book that I've been reading lately? In the mornings, I've been trying to read instead of hopping straight onto my phone, read something motivational. Or a couple months ago, I picked up The Portal to Nietzsche, so philosophical books, things of that nature. But today, I have with me the Prosperity Bible, and it says the greatest writings of all time on the secrets of wealth and prosperity. So success-minded books, things of that nature. And today I'll be reading for you. Let's see, let me speak more clearly into the mic. Let's see. The Acres of Diamonds by Russell H. Conwell, written in 1921. And I'll just read a little excerpt from it. I won't read the whole thing. It's a. Oop! Let's try that one again. I won't read the whole thing. I'll read a little excerpt from it, since it's a couple pages long. But I thought this might be a good test, for editing and things like that. So I hope you enjoy this reading, and I hope it provides you a little relaxation. Okay. I am astonished that so many people should care to hear this story over again. Indeed, this lecture has become a study in psychology. It often breaks all rules of oratory, departs from the precepts of rhetoric, and yet remains the most popular of any lecture I have delivered in the 57 years of my public life. I have sometimes studied for a year upon a lecture and made a careful research, and then presented the lecture just once, never delivered it again. I put too much work on it. But this had no work on it, thrown together perfectly at random, spoken offhand without any special preparation, and it succeeds when the thing we study, work over, adjust to a plan, is an entire failure. The acres of diamonds, which I have mentioned through so many years, are to be found in this city, and you are to find them. Many have found them, and what man has done, man can do. I could not find anything better to illustrate my thought than a story I have told over and over again, and which is now found in books in nearly every library. In 1870, we went down the Tigris River. We hired a guide at Baghdad to show us Persepolis, Nineveh, and Babylon, and the ancient countries of Assyria as far as the Arabian Gulf. He was well acquainted with the land, but he was one of those guides who loved to entertain their patrons. He was like a barber that tells you many stories in order to keep your mind off the scratching and the scraping. He told me so many stories that I grew tired of him telling them, and I refused to listen. I looked away whenever he commenced. That made the guide quite angry. I remember that toward evening, he took his Turkish cap off his head and swung it around in the air. The gesture I did not understand, and I did not dare look at him for fear I should become the victim of another story. But, although I am not a woman, I did look, and the instant I turned my eyes upon the worthy guide, he was off again. Said he, "I will tell you a story now, which I reserve for my particular friends." So then, counting myself a particular friend, I listened. I have always been glad I did. He said, "There once lived, not far from the river Indus, an ancient Persian by the name of Al-Hafed. He said that Al-Hafed owned a very large farm with orchards, grain fields, and gardens. He was a contented and wealthy man, contented because he was wealthy, and wealthy because he was contented. One day, there visited this old farmer, one of those ancient Buddhist priests, and he sat down by Al-Hafed's fire and told the old farmer how this world of ours was made. He said that this world was once a mere bank of fog, which is scientifically true, and he said that the Almighty thrust his finger into the bank of fog and then began slowly to move his finger around and gradually to increase the speed of his finger until at last he whirled that bank of fog into a solid ball of fire. And it went rolling through the universe, burning its way through the other cosmic banks of fog, until it condensed the moisture without and fell in floods of rain upon the heated surface and cooled the outward crust. Then the internal flames burst through the cooling crust and threw up the mountains and made the hills and the valleys of this wonderful world of ours. If this internal melted mass burst out and cooled very quickly, it became granite. That which cooled less quickly became silver, and less quickly, gold, and after gold, diamonds were made," said the old priest. "A diamond is a congealed drop of sunlight. This is a scientific truth also. You all know that a diamond is pure carbon, actually deposited sunlight, and he said another thing I would not forget. He declared that a diamond is the last and highest of God's mineral creations, as a woman is the last and highest of God's animal creations. I suppose that is the reason why the two have such a liking for each other." And the old priest told Al-Hafed that if he had a handful of diamonds, he could purchase a whole country, and with a mine of diamonds, he would place his children upon thrones through the influence of their great wealth. Al-Hafed heard all about diamonds and how much they were worth, and went to his bed that night a poor man, not that he had lost anything, but poor because he was discontented, and disconnected because he thought he was poor. He said, "I want a mine of diamonds." So he lay awake all night, and early in the morning sought out the priest. Now, I know from experience that a priest, when awakened early in the morning, is cross. He awoke that priest out of his dreams and said to him, "Will you tell me where I can find diamonds?" The priest said, "Diamonds? What do you want with diamonds?" "I want to be immensely rich," said Al-Hafed, "but I don't know where to go." "Well," said the priest, "if you will find a river that runs over white sand between high mountains, in those sands you will always see diamonds." "Do you really believe that there is such a river?" "Plenty of them, plenty of them. All you have to do is just go and find them, and then you have them." Al-Hafed said, "I will go." So he sold his farm, collected his money at an interest, left his family in charge of a neighbor, and away he went in search of diamonds. He began very properly, to my mind, at the Mountains of the Moon. Afterwards, he went around into Palestine, then wandered on into Europe, and at last, when his money was all spent and he was in rags, wretchedness, and poverty, he stood on the shore of that bay in Barcelona, Spain, when a tidal wave came rolling in through the Pillars of Hercules, and the poor, afflicted, suffering man could not resist the awful temptation to cast himself into the incoming tide. And he sank beneath its foam crest, never to rise in this life again. When the old guide had told me that very sad story, he stopped the camel I was riding and went back to fix the baggage on one of the other camels, and I remembered thinking to myself, why did he reserve that for his particular friends? There seemed to be no beginning, middle, or end. Nothing to it. That was the first story I ever heard told or read in which the hero was killed in the first chapter. I had but one chapter of that story, and the hero was dead. I think. Oop. Bonk. I think with that, I'll stop there. Even in that little, because the story goes on, and it turns out that, well, if you ever intend to read it, there are other little gems in here, no pun intended, but the story goes on to say that in the land that was originally the old farmers, there actually had been a giant diamond mine that he had been sitting on. And so, you can learn from the moral of that story is to learn to appreciate and learn truly all that, the worth of all that you already have with you. Or else you will live a life discontented and poor when you may already be vastly wealthy in different things. I hope you were able to enjoy this reading, and maybe my voice a little bit, maybe. And whenever you get the chance to listen to this, that you are doing well, and I hope you take care. All right, bye-bye, lovely.